Our guest at this time is Lee Berger, best known for his discovery of early human ancestors. Hello, Lee Berger.
Well, hello from South Africa. It's great to talk to you.
It's a pleasure to talk with you from, Johannesburg.
Just outside. I'm actually sitting in the Cradle of Humankind UNESCO World Heritage Site. Whoa. I can look out my window and see antelope running about.
One of the most beautiful places on the planet. And this is a gripping tale of science and exploration. And you have found rich caches of fossils representing two all-new species on the human family tree. How significant is this find?
What the book does is take the reader through the incredible journey my colleagues and I have been on over largely the last decade, first with the discovery by my then 9-year-old son of the first piece of what would be a new species we would name Australopithecus sediba at a site called Malapa, 2 million years old, and it was the discovery of a lifetime. Skeleton after skeleton at this fantastic site. I thought I'd won the paleontological lottery, formed a group of almost 100 scientists from around the world. And then in 2013, lightning struck again. A former student of mine, along with two amateur cavers we'd enlisted, crawled down a 7.5-inch-wide crack, almost 200 feet underground into a chamber. And after an expedition that lasted 21 days where we put extraordinary scientists, who just happened to be women, at the point of this dangerous chamber, we recovered the richest fossil hominid site ever discovered in history on the continent of Africa, of course containing a new species, Homo naledi, which was remarkable in almost every way.
Well, moving forward, what does this mean, the find of Homo naledi?
So Homo naledi was completely unexpected. Here we had a small-brained hominid, I mean a brain the size of an orange, so about a third the size of a modern human's brain. It had primitive parts of its body, then some very advanced parts. Everyone at the time we announced it in 2015 thought it should be millions of years old, maybe 2, maybe 3 million years old, and sat at the root of our family tree. And that's probably where the species comes from. But you might have heard that just last week we announced this startling age of Homo naledi and that it is extremely young. It's 2 to 300,000 years old, at least this population is. And while that may not sound young to your listeners, that is strikingly young for a hominid of this morphology, of this anatomy. It shouldn't be here. And it is really shaking up the whole way that we scientists view the origins of humans, both as a progressive sort of increasing of brain size that almost would ultimately lead to us is possibly wrong. That story that we were gaining from a fragmentary record may have been wrong. And Homo naledi may be sort of driving the lesson home that we shouldn't get so fixed in easy stories of how we got here. It's certainly very complex.
Well, how might these remains have come in such a hard-to-reach underground setting?
So when we, on the second day of the expedition, we realized that, first, I'd been wrong. It wasn't one skeleton. It was multiple skeletons. We realized that there were more than dozens of individuals in here. We began looking for all the signs that would say why they would be here, all the typical signs. We started looking for other animals, and we didn't find them. Nothing else was in this chamber but Homo naledi. We looked for damage, bite marks, and scavenging marks. Nothing. They weren't washed in there. Nothing had collapsed on them. And eventually, after eliminating all the probable things, we came to the highly controversial hypothesis that we announced in September of 2015, that we thought that this small-brained, non-human animal was ritually and deliberately disposing of its dead in this chamber. Now, no one believed that, and it certainly was a hard stretch because until that moment, that behavior was thought to be the domain of modern humans and modern humans alone. And then we found a second chamber. Just like it, we announced a couple of weeks ago as well, with a beautifully complete male skeleton in it, amongst others, called Mayo, also of Homo naledi, and it seems to support heavily the idea that for the first time in history, we humans had met another lineage, another species that was in many ways as complex as we are.
Now, your son, Matthew, was involved in this, wasn't he, this find?
He was involved in both discoveries. So in 2008, when he was 9 years old, after I'd done a Google Earth survey and discovered this little site, about a minute and a half after getting the site, he found a small piece of bone, which happened to be a hominid clavicle, that's your shoulder girdle bone. And that started one of the great science projects of all time, over 100 scientists involved. He also was involved in the second Naledi discovery. He actually, I could never fit down this chute. I'm not physiologically appropriate to get down a 7.5-inch slot into 60, to go 60 feet down at 200 feet underground. But I had a very skinny then 15-year-old son who I trusted with a, that sent him down to inspect this discovery that had been brought to me. And so he was heavily involved in that, as was my daughter, by the way, who was involved as a safety keeper in this expedition.
Well, you say this find represents a species never seen before. How does Homo naledi compare with what we would traditionally view as a species of that time?
So we try to take the reader through this sort of adventure of how we figure these things out in the book. But at that time in history, we thought that really in Africa, there were only big-brained modern human-like hominids, basically us, that we had appeared, the large brains had allowed us to dominate and wipe everything else out, and this was the moment of emergence of our behavior. Suddenly, we had this tiny brain, primitive hominid, that probably had been there all along for millions of years, right in the middle of the most critical moment in the archaeological history of humankind, the beginning of what we call the Middle Stone Age and the rise of modern human behavior. Although, what Homo naledi does and why it's so challenging to science right now is it says, well, maybe that wasn't the rise of modern human behavior. What if it was the rise of Homo naledi behavior? Or what if we met Homo naledi and maybe interbred with them? We don't have those answers yet, but we'll get them.
Do we know how the species survived?
We know that it probably originated 2 to 3 million years ago and stayed invisible to us and largely unchanged for millions of years. The data 200,000 to 300,000 years ago says that it was very well adapted in its environment, but we know little else because there's nothing else in these chambers. But we are looking for archaeological and occupation sites. Now, what a really interesting thing, which we touch on in the book, is we also don't know how far Homo naledi comes down in time. This isn't necessarily an extinction event. Isn't it amazing to imagine there might have been a completely another species of non-human, but kind of like us, that could have existed into the more recent past? That's part of the things that our exploration teams are out looking for right now. And if you might have noticed in the epilogue, we didn't stop exploring. We're making other discoveries at the same time.
Do you sense that there could be other finds in the area where Homo naledi was discovered?
I know that for a fact because we didn't stop exploring. And the very last sentences of the book hint to a major new discovery that our teams have just made.
So you're saying there's more to come that will be perhaps just as provocative.
I'm saying watch this space. We are entering the greatest age of exploration. And I think that's an important thing I want to get across about this book and the way we wrote this book. This book will be, of course, of interest to people who follow this science and the science of paleontology and fossils and archaeology. But we also wrote it so that it'd be accessible to younger people who could read it and hopefully become inspired that there's more to be discovered, that this is a great age of exploration, but we need people to get out and explore and discover.
Now, I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir, Lee, but as you know, there are people who, other than you, the joy in your words is palpable, but there are others who find fear in this kind of thing. Do you understand that?
They really shouldn't. You know, I've often said that you have to look at science. We explore the natural world. We explain the natural world and the reality of the natural world around us. That's what our job is. When you look at things like religion, religion studies human truisms, what's good and evil, what's right and wrong. There is no need for people who have faith and explore those ideas, which is what religion is based on, that they should be afraid of the study and exploration of this magnificent natural world.
And you've had many people, including your son, involved in this process, including some folks down the street from us at Louisiana State University.
You better believe it. Trent Holliday is a longtime colleague. We were in graduate school, not in the same place, but at the same time, known each other for years. He's a world expert on postcranial remains and heavily engaged. This project is one of the exciting parts about it. Now there's over 150 scientists from around the world involved in it, and they're all the very best, and you have some of the very best right there in Louisiana.
And this is all because of something embedded in a rock is discovered.
Isn't that extraordinary? It's these objects of human origins We're thought to be the rarest sought-after objects on Earth, and we all, as scientists, grew up in a world where we thought we would only be dealing with little tiny fragments. Well, these discoveries and the teams that are out exploring now, our teams, the scientists working on them, are busy making them the not-so-rarest objects on the Earth, and that's exciting because we're about to know more about our journey, the human journey, than ever before in history.